Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to a coziest of cozy pants. It's me, Matthew. And who's this?
From an egg I hatched. From the earth I crawled. Through the muck and the slime. I found my way here to the Tower of Hermann. I scaled your walls and I opened your hatch. And now I'm here. Wondering why we have brownie mix in the cupboard that has not been made.
So, not only does this not answer the question of who else is here, but it introduces new confusion with you referring to me as Hermann.
The Tower of Hermann has been penetrated.
Oh.
And here we are at last. I am known as the Flesh Giver.
Now, regarding the Flesh Giver.
I am the Flesh Giver.
Who...
I come every flesh giving to give flesh to all the good ghouls.
Great, yes. A nice July spook.
It's flesh.
The scariest time of the year.
When the sun is out and the skin is burning, it
Yikes.
Cooks.
Okay,
it
well, that is scary.
The
okay.
Human cooks in the sun, and mm-hmm. then it's flesh giving in July.
I think we should start this as a new tradition.
Yes.
Flesh, James, let's invite everyone over.
Oh, perfect.
Now at this time of our lives when everyone is doing social things.
Gather in a small room with
we should
no
invite them
ventilation.
Over for flesh-giving.
Flesh-giving.
With no other explanation.
Matthew, there'll be a lot of jock straps. There will be a lot of ample flesh.
Oh. Do you know what? I almost started crying yesterday
when
I started thinking about Fetish Night.
What? Tell me everything.
This is Matthew, by the way, and James is joining me.
What?
So
I am the flesh giver.
I went for a little walk yesterday just to see the world because I've been cooped up for a long time, as have we all. And so, you know, just went for a little stroll around the neighborhood to check out the park and see what had come of the garden. The garden's getting even bigger. It's in good shape.
What?
You'll be happy to hear.
Oh, yes. Tell everyone about the garden.
It's the garden Cal Anderson Park that everyone was speaking about in the Chaz and the Chop. And
well, you say that like anyone outside of our fair city knows what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't know. I spoke to my parents today, and they knew about it.
They knew about the garden?
They knew about the garden.
But they're tied into garden news.
That's true. They know about every garden.
Matthew, a butterfly lands in the sanctuary and whispers on the wind.
They're garden gnomes, and that they gnome about gardens.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so there was a little protest in Seattle for the last month and a bit, and some people planted a garden in Cal Anderson Park, which you may initially say, like, what does this have to do with anything of the protests?
Mm.
But it is a statement about the disenfranchisement of black communities from having control over the land and having autonomy through agricultural development. So, you know, you talk to Marcus Wilson, who's the person who planted the garden, and he has a lot of thoughts about why black land is an important issue. Anyway, so this is a garden that was planted in Cal Anderson Park across the street, well, not, you know, across the street and down the block from our house, and went to check on it yesterday, and it's in really nice shape.
Oh, my goodness, Matthew. Are they growing a kumquat?
They do have, let's see, what do they have there? So lots of tomatoes. Although I think it's a little late in the season to get those started.
Oh, but. I see.
You know what?
Shade.
They got, well, and very little shade, which is good for the tomatoes.
But not good for the gander.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of, I don't know, maybe geese will come through. Maybe they'll
We had a
look.
Goose land on our
we
balcony
didn't.
Today.
We
had
didn't.
A swarm of geese's.
James, what did we have? Describe what these geese looked like.
It wasn't the pigeon, Matthew. It was it was a goose, and you can tell it's plump and brown.
Okay.
And all around. It's about the size of a fist.
Uh-huh.
Matthew, it was a goose the size of my fist.
Okay. Okay, a little shrunken goose.
Many geese. The geese that flock together mock together. They made a mockery of your garden.
Did some of
your
them
own
have
garden.
Slightly reddish heads?
Like Lucille Ball, that crazy redhead, Matthew. America's favorite redhead.
Yep.
I think that came out of a bottle.
Okay,
I'm not. Only her barber knows for
sure. I mean, you're talking like you've been in a bottle.
Matthew,
yeah.
You love to record this when I'm at my breaking point.
You have no point, James, at which you are coherent. There's no point in the day that I can take you aside and say it's time for a very reasonable intellectual conversation.
Do you want a reasonable explanation?
No, no, that's not why I married you.
Oh.
Anyway.
What?
I don't know what we're talking about. Okay, so you saw some chickadees out on the balcony.
Oh, my little chickadee.
They ate the spinach.
Like Popeye.
Like Popeye. Now they're very strong birds. Yeah,
so
I went out to get some spinach for a salad earlier today, and it was just a bare stem. So they took one of the spinach plants and just went to town on it.
Or maybe I didn't want to eat my spinach, maybe so I just threw it over the balcony.
You plucked the leaves one by one?
And threw them, yes, one by one. One singular sensation. Well, to make it convincing, I used just one of my teeth and kind of bonked the leaf until it fell off.
You think that your tooth marks look like bird tooth marks?
I have one sharp tooth. I actually don't.
One sharp triangular tooth.
I have ground my teeth down. They're all completely flat.
Ugh.
I have no sharpness to my teeth. I needed to tear into a mantelope, I would have a difficult time. In the end times, when we're chasing the mantelope down the railway tracks, Skimbleshanks, Matthew, trying to catch it, need it. I will not be able to tear the flesh. I will need you to chew the flesh for me and regurgitate it into my mouth.
I will not do that.
Why? I'm so hungry.
You're going to have to
have
the slurry.
You'll have to be the human hamburger, Matthew.
What? That doesn't make sense either. No. A hamburger doesn't eat itself for you.
No, but it's pre-digested. It's pre-chewed.
It certainly isn't.
It's pre-chewed.
Where are you going that you're getting pre-chewed hamburger?
Matthew, what do you think it is? The cow wasn't like that. They throw the cow parts into the chewing machine.
Oh, you're talking about like a meat grinder.
Oh, that's what you are. You're the grinder.
I suppose.
Matthew, you're going to have to take the pieces of the mantelope and hamburgle them. And then spat them into me.
James.
What?
I regret to inform you that the mantelope has been hamburgled.
I need to have a hamburgled mantelope.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes?
What do we have growing? There's... Oh, spinach. You were dismayed when I pointed out we've got a ladybug, but an early stage ladybug on one of our lettuces outside. So before it's a ladybug, before it's a nice round shiny beetle, it's kind of this worm-looking thing.
Why? What? You tell me you feed me these leaves, you say there's been no bug, you say there's been no bird.
Oh, not when you eat it.
I don't believe
there's no bugs when you eat it, James. I rinse everything that I feed you.
I can't trust a rinse.
But that's just what you get from the grocery store.
That's what Lucille Ball got. She got a rinse, Matthew. She had to rinse that red right into her hair.
Uh-huh.
All over. Only Walt Disney knows for sure.
So we've got lettuce coming off the balcony.
Oh, let us discuss.
We've got, tomatillos growing in the park.
Oh, okay.
What else have they got out there? They've got lots of lavender, I'll tell you that much.
Oh my goodness, what are they going to do with it all?
I have no idea, actually. I mean, eventually it'll be ready to harvest.
It's a lavender menace.
Probably go to a food bank. There's other gardens around town that, they grow some things and it goes to, food banks and other people in need.
Mm.
So if I was to guess, that's probably where that food's going to go.
Now, I've seen that in Chicago, Matthew, they're going to rename Boys Town to Rainbow Road.
I think that's fine.
I think that's fine, but I think it shouldn't be Rainbow Road.
Yeah.
Even though that's a very catchy ditty, I think it should be Lavender Town.
Lavender Town is good. I like that. It does feel a little Mad Max.
Yeah, it's Pokemon.
Oh.
So we need to go from the Rainbow Road to the Lavender Town.
Okay. That's pretty good. Well,
take the Rainbow Road to Lavender Town and shove it up your ass.
I'm sure that they will be doing that, yes.
Yeah. Ramagay Treasure is there.
What?
We have a photo of you.
Standing outside of... Was that really the name Ram, a gay treasure?
Well, it says Ram in all big letters. Then it says a gay treasure in slightly smaller letters underneath. And then it was you.
I was the gay treasure.
You.
Come Ram my gay treasure.
Yes, we were there for flesh giving.
Is that a good grinder profile?
Give me the full details of it.
Ram, a gay treasure.
Yes.
Now's your chance, boys.
Boop. That is a good. That's a great grinder profile. Nice.
The mud gates open.
Oh my goodness! A Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. Seize your battering ram.
Oh.
And charge the portcullis.
I see. That's because, of course, the battering ram of the mud gate.
Yeah.
Matthew, is there a mud flap?
Yep. It's got a sexy picture of me reclining on it.
Absolutely. I think her name, the mud flap girl, is Amy.
Really?
Yes.
It never even occurred to me that she might have a
name.
That's
also the name of the gorilla in the gorilla movie.
Congo.
Congo. Amy, bad gorilla.
Mm.
No, Amy, good gorilla. Yeah. The other ones are bad gorillas.
The other gorillas are bad.
Bad gorilla.
Yes. So one of the people who worked on that film, who I used to know, was, her name was Linda. She...
Was she a gorilla?
No.
Oh.
Worked on that film, and she also worked on, what's the space movie with Tim Allen?
Oh, Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. So she worked on Congo, and she worked on Galaxy Quest, among many other things.
Just those.
Just those two. And I always, because of that association... Whenever I think of Congo, I picture the little baby aliens from Galaxy Quest in the jungle instead of gorillas.
Certainly, and Tim Allen's face CG'd onto all of them.
Onto all every single one.
He did all the gorilla sound effects, of course.
He was an early pioneer, yeah. Can you imagine if they ever had Jane Goodall on Home Improvement?
Oh, Matthew. And she studied him. She got into the bathtub and she covered herself with mist, with Mist Piggy. Matthew, that's my new parfum, Mist Piggy. Matthew, you spritz it into the air, you walk through it, and you become a pig.
That's always...
You walk on the other side of the cloud, Matthew. Now, I can make a statement without saying a word, and I'm a designer imposter. My mud flap has flapped its last, and I want to know from you, Matthew, what are you going to do if you catch that bird eating your spinach?
Oh, well, I'm going to catch the bird, but I missed the pig.
Oh. Matthew.
Okay, so...
Missed piggy.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Okay, great. Yep, there we have it. Good. Our job here is done.
That's the podcast. Is this a podcast? This is an audio file, but it's not in an RSS feed. So
yes,
could it,
be
a wah-wah?
Patreon generates an RSS feed.
Oh, I sure hope it's separate from all the other things people download from you. Can you opt out of this?
I think this is the only thing in the RSS feed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you get... You get this in the RSS feed. You get Cozy Pants RSS. But then with Defining Marriage, with Culture Cruise, that just posts as a regular Patreon post.
What about Sewers of Paris?
Sewers is actually, Sewers is in the feed as well.
Oh, so if you have added the feed for Sewers reasons, then you're made to suffer.
You don't have to listen.
Matthew, it's flesh giving every day here. We're giving you
flesh in December,
the full belly, Matthew, from Mist Piggy to you.
Perhaps we should talk about some things that we've enjoyed.
I enjoy so much.
Yes, you're nibbling right now as you say that. You're nibbling on your sack.
It's true.
Listeners, you can't see this, of course, but James wears, he has a day sack.
I have a day sack and a night sack, Matthew.
I think you wear the one sack.
Well, it's such a bother to change to the night
sack. To change sacks. Yeah, that's a relatable problem.
It is.
James is wearing his day sack.
Yeah.
His beard is wild and akimbo.
What?
Like,
oh.
you look like it's sticking out from your face like that baby sun from Teletubbies.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And the hair on your head is doing sort of a turnip effect.
You
look like one of the vegetables that Mario pulls out of the ground in Mario Brothers 2.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I've always aspired to be.
Great.
Matthew, I turned up like this.
I'm going to pull you out of the ground and throw you at a shy guy.
Oh, I am the shy guy. I'm so shy.
You are.
Oh,
you're Matthew, retiring.
I am retired, and that's why I get to wear a sack every day.
Okay. Great. Well, sacks to you.
Oh, Mrs. Robinson.
What else have we enjoyed, James?
We just finished watching Princess Mononoke.
Yes, we have.
It's a good movie.
That is one of my favorite movies, I think.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I think it's very good. I like every character in it. It's interesting for different reasons.
That is true.
They all have very understandable motivations.
And they're great characters. It's beautiful to look at. It's beautiful to listen to. It's a beautiful experience that people should experience. And the English dub isn't that bad.
It is one of the rare cases where, I could actually watch the dubbed version and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's charming. It's been years since I've watched the Japanese version, and I don't know if the dialogue's any different, because that has been the case with some movies in the past. Like Kiki's Delivery Service has a wildly different ending, if I remember correctly, and just differences throughout.
Oh, it's remarkable how wrong it is.
Now,
so,
we don't want to spoil Kiki, Matthew.
No.
Let's have a Kiki, but let's not spoil it.
So I would say that one's very different. There was a disaster involving... Oh, no, I always forget the name. It's the one with the ohms. And
oh, Nausicaä?
Nausicaä was just, like, disastrously adapted to the U.S. market. Mm. Completely changed.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so with this one, the people who brought it to the U.S. wanted a lot of changes. And Miyazaki met with them. And then I think, like, the next day or the next week or something like that, as the story goes, sent them a samurai sword with the words "no cuts" embedded in the blade. And he got his way. There were no cuts.
He got his way. He defeated Harvey Weinstein, as the story goes. It may be apocryphal, but too good to fact check.
Yeah. And I can certainly see in watching it. So we just watched Princess Mononoke, Miyazaki film from 96, I want to say.
No, we saw the premiere in L.A.,
No, that's absolutely not true.
Yes, we did.
Absolutely not.
What?
Kate brought you a Princess Mononoke poster back from the castle.
Oh, then that's not true.
Yeah.
Which one did we see? Was it Spirited Away?
We saw
perhaps?
Howl's Moving Castle in
Howl's
LA.
Howl's Moving Castle we saw.
Yes.
That's a different one.
That's a different one and a different castle. This is very confusing because
there
I'm
are many
castles.
Because Kate was in the castle.
Kate was in the castle.
She was actually the old lady girl.
You know what? Honestly,
she might have been.
That is one of the best descriptions I've ever heard.
I now, if we do a live action version, you and I, of Howl's Moving Castle, we're definitely casting Kate.
Kate as the old lady girl?
As the old lady girl.
Mm.
And
what a nickname.
The David Bowie wizard bird will have to be Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know. Who would you cast as him? As the Howl?
Boy, that's a good question.
Not Cumberbatch, no. I just thought the name would be fun to say.
It's a fun name. Yeah, I don't know. I remember so little about... He's moody and grumpy. He's sort of like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, isn't he?
A little bit, yeah.
So who would be a good... You know, I just want to cast Donald Glover in everything, but I don't know that he's appropriate in that role.
I mean, he could be... Howl can be charming.
Howl can be charming. I guess... Yeah, honestly, my answer to everything, like, who'd you cast these days, is Donald Glover.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And what about as the Dr. Robotnik who lives in the basement moving all the levers? Do you remember there's a Robotnik?
Oh, that is in Spirited Away.
Oh, geez, we need to watch more than just Mononoke, I guess. I need a refresher, Matthew.
You do. You need a nice freshening up.
Is there a Calcifer? Or is that Spirited Away?
Calcifer?
Yeah.
Calcifer.
There's like a little fireplace demon. It's like the fire, but it talks and it smiles.
Are you thinking of the soot from Totoro?
No, I know about that, Matthew. Okay. It gets really weirded out when Dad takes a bath with the girls.
Yes,
Calcifer. That's not it. I think it's the laughter of children that scares the demons away.
That name is very interesting, but I don't...
Not to be confused with Crucifer, the Clown of Thorns.
What is that from? Because that sounds like a cucumber.
That is a clown grief counselor.
No.
Who goes from school to school trying to cheer children up after miseries and traumas. But he instead tells them tragedies of Jesus.
Oh, James Calcifer is from Howl's Moving Castle.
That is Howl's Moving
Castle. It's the little fire spirit.
It's a fire.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were talking about there's some sort of like custodian or something, and a man with many arms who's stoking the fire in the bottom of the bathhouse.
Oh, well, that's the Robotnik.
Okay. So that's who you're. Yes. Yeah. Oh, he has a big mustache.
He has a Robotnik affect.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Matthew. So clearly we need to watch. So we got HBO Plus mostly for the Miyazaki films, but also so that I can watch some Legendary.
Oh, yes. For Legendary. Well, Legendary, yes. You're watching for reasons. You must
for
make
research
a video,
purposes.
Matthew. Now, we learned about Dr. Kintobor.
We did, but I don't remember what we learned.
I don't know why. We were looking at a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog at one
point. Oh, yes.
Why did we...
You were harassing me about Sonic's origins. I was trying to fall asleep, and it was... This may have been one of those nights
Kintobor.
Where it's like 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
And I'm like... We've had a long conversation about something, and I'm losing consciousness,
and
I brush my teeth, and you're still going a mile a minute with whatever you're talking about.
Kintobor.
I take a shower. You're still going. Mm-hmm. I do drugs.
You love the
drugs. To slip into slumberland.
Yes.
I slide into the bed, and I pull the blanket up over my head. I turn out the lights, and you are still just charging forward with whatever speech you need to make.
You don't send me away. Why don't you send me away into the darkness?
How can I send you away? I like
you
too much.
Because I think Sonic gives you a boner.
That's not the case. I may be one of the only perverts on the internet who doesn't get a boner from Sonic, but
I don't know about that.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Really? Not from Cream the Rabbit? Not from...
I don't know that Cream the Rabbit is entirely blameless.
No, not from Mucko the Bat or...
Mucko the Bat? Is that one of them?
Or Gunge the Roomba.
That's not... Okay, Gunge the Roomba is not real.
No?
No.
Oh.
But maybe he should be. Maybe I'll put him in something. So, blah, blah, blah. You,
what
James,
about
you...
Blasto the Tongue?
Blasto the Tongue? Yeah. I honestly don't know if that's a real Sonic character
toad,
or not.
Matthew. It's a toad,
yeah,
with a large frame, and he wears a backward baseball cap with a little propeller on the top, and he's got an enormous tongue, and they call him Blasto the Tongue. And if you make him angry,
yeah,
he sticks his tongue up your butt.
Okay,
and he says, "You got Blasto."
No.
Yes.
So there are parts of this that I think might be real.
Yeah.
You were just going full bore
what?
On Sonic lore.
What?
That rhymed.
Oh,
the other night.
With Quinta Bore.
Yep. You were telling me all about the history of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ivor Robotnik. Now, what about... Oh, yes. What?
I feel as though we're on a trajectory where that is going to happen again.
Now, here's the thing, Matthew. We've got to go fast.
Yep.
We've got to go to the next topic, which is your haircut. You cut your hair.
Oh, sure. Why not? I cut my hair. It was getting real annoying.
Tell me everything.
So my hair was getting longer and longer. I think it's been my last... So my last professional haircut was probably like early March.
That's true for many humans,
yeah,
I think.
I think that's right. And then I got another haircut around late March, I think. That was just like me doing it to myself.
Mm.
You started to do it, and I was giving you too many instructions, and you gave up, so you just made me do it myself.
Well, you it was to the point where it's like, just if you want all these adjustments, then just do it yourself.
But I can't see the back of my head.
Just fine.
Okay, well, eventually I did
it
myself.
Somehow you knew what I was doing back there was wrong.
Well, I could feel that it was wrong.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I couldn't see what was right.
Well, then surely you could feel what's right for yourself.
I felt what's right for myself. Yes, I felt my body up and down.
Wah!
And gave myself a little trim. And now I have short hair.
You do. You're like a little army boy. You go to army with your little helmet and your under helmet.
Here I go. What is my under helmet?
It's
my carapace.
Your special worm wears a little
hat. No.
What?
No.
You don't want to talk about the special worm on this podcast?
What? What's James?
What?
I do, but I don't.
What? You do?
I do, but
let's
don't.
Let's unpack that.
Don't unpack my worm.
Oh.
What is its name?
Slimy.
No.
Yes.
Oh, why do I let you do this to me?
Matthew, it's a friend to a grouch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll say.
It's always trying to get into that trash can.
Uh-huh.
What? What are you laughing?
I just like you so much.
What?
I like you in my trash can.
Oh, no.
Oh.
There was also an elephant in there. It's a real polycule.
Oh, that's right. What was it?
Henrietta?
That sounds right. I think that's
correct. Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh. Matthew, the elephant movement.
What about it?
It's coming.
Okay.
Watch out. It's right. Flesh giving for elephants.
Flesh giving for... I still don't know where you got onto... I'm the flesh giver.
That's what I am.
Okay. Now, you hinted very early in this podcast that you wanted me to prepare the brownie mix that's in the cupboard.
Huh? Oh, sure. I wouldn't say no.
Okay. But you were also indicating...
I'm just a girl who can't say no.
...that you're very tired.
What?
And you might need a nap. So I don't know...
Well, let's see.
Do you want a situation where...
Do you want me to go to sleep right now?
On the podcast, yeah. Oh. It's an Andy Warhol project.
Mm.
No, do you want a situation where you take a nap and then when you wake up, there's brownies?
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
who
wouldn't want to go to sleep and wake up to brownies?
That actually does sound pretty good.
Matthew.
James, let's both do that. Let's both go to sleep and then when we wake up, there's brownies.
That's a possibility. We'll have to just marvel at the universe.
Mm.
Matthew, now you were talking yesterday about putting something in the butter.
Oh, yes, I was.
Now, that's
drugs.
Trouble for me, maybe, but
yes.
I don't know. No, maybe not.
So you have tried the sleepy time drugs.
I don't know. Is this real or is this bullshit?
I don't think you'd like it.
Okay.
So you've tried the drugs that put you in a
I think I've tried whatever you've had at various
points. And it's always like I always get the sleepy stuff. And there's also, this time I've gotten the more active stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's different chemicals, and people say it has different effects. I haven't tried it yet.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. My thought was I would get it and play some Minecraft and see how I feel.
Okay. Well, I mean, some people, they say, they say that tequila drunk is different from vodka drunk, is different from whiskey drunk. And
I don't know about that.
Like, gang, My darlings, my hamburgers, off the shit. It, like, I think that the contexts might be different, and that's why you feel different. Doing shots of tequila, going like, woo, 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 hey, ha ha, have a shot with my friends, is different from crying into your vodka at the fire station. You've hidden it in your morning tea, and you're supposed to be doing dispatch, but instead you're having a little tipple and thinking about your husband the night before at the Chinese restaurant with his mistress and everyone saw.
Well, that paints quite a picture.
It sure does.
That's not how I intended to use my drugs.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know, but I was talking about making a butter out of them.
Oh my, the boy
butter. I just don't think it's a good use of the flour.
It does seem like the return on investment is low.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that some people don't like the smokiness. So, you know, I get why some people might want to eat it instead.
Nom nom nom.
But I think in our case, it might be better if I just made a brownie that we both can eat.
Oh, yum, yum, yum.
And I can do some drugs if I feel like it, and you don't have to.
Now, if you force a puff upon me, the sensation that I have... Now, some people, when they bite into a York peppermint patty, they feel like they're on an alpine ski jump.
To be clear, I've never forced anything on you. Now, I just want to make sure that's not a misunderstanding.
Sometimes when I'm having my special nap, my dirt nap, you come and you attach the hookah to me. Matthew, you, I can't breathe but for hookah. And the experience I have is like in the motion picture event Ghost, starring Whoopi Goldberg, when someone is killed and they lived a false life, a bad life, what happens is all the demons of hell have come to torment them.
Yes.
They crawl up out of the shadows and they grab people and they pull them down. And that is what the puff drug does to me. I feel like I've been gripped and I'm being pulled downward, and my brain doesn't feel relaxed or good. It feels just as alert as ever, and perhaps even more so. But my body is dead and is being pulled into the darkness, and it can't be stopped, and I don't really have the energy to move it. And I'm very, very aware that I'm being pulled downward and to my doom, and there's nothing I can do but think about how miserable it is.
That doesn't seem like a great experience. Mm. So that's why I think that you would not like, even if it's a different kind of chemical and different strain, I don't think it's a drug for you.
The sound of the demons in the movie Ghost is the sound of babies.
Is it really?
Slowed down.
Oh, that's horrible.
A lot.
So I find it enjoyable. I like the experience.
Mm.
I, for kind of the same reason. I'm like,
oh, no.
Hello, demons. Hello, at last you're here.
What?
My friends, to drag me down. Oh, at last. Because I'm too buoyant.
What?
My brain is too chaotic, and I need something to hold me down. This is, James, this is why I like when you press me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but the issue I have is that my brain is not slowed, or my brain is not pulled. It is just... I can't really move. I'm just being pulled straight downward by all the demons. I'm being held down and heavy, but it's not relaxing me. It's not slowing my thinking. It's just it gives me more opportunity to think about, oh no, now here's another problem to add to the list, being pulled to hell.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it's, James, you are the anxious goth boyfriend.
What?
And I'm the fluffy golden retriever.
What?
In the Anthony Oliveira relationship dichotomy.
Oh my god.
You are going...
I'm the anxious one? What?
Well, I think you're the energetic one.
What?
Intellectually.
What? I spend 90% of the day lying in a sack.
That has nothing to do with your brain.
Oh.
While you're all sacked up, you're coming up with ideas.
What?
You're thinking.
Oh,
you're,
my God.
You're cogitating.
I'm Mother Brain.
You are Mother Brain.
Played by Levi Stubbs.
Yep. Yes, and I'm just moping around doing the dishes.
Oh, my goodness. You are known as Dishwasher Molly.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Dishwater Dinah, but...
I feel like that's from something.
Well, you know, when... Your eyes are the color of dishwater, and your skin is the smell of dawn.
Yeah.
You are ready to become Dishwater Dinah. That's my folk song.
That's your folk song?
Yes.
Good, good. Let's have a hootenanny.
Oh my goodness, Matthew the Flesh Giver.
What?
Comes again.
What else have we been experiencing and enjoying? Has there been any other grand highlights you've been...
We watched some YouTube videos. We watched some... Lindsay Ellis has had a few. We've watched some Philosophy Tube. Mm-hmm. We've watched...
I've logged a bit of... So my next culture cruise, I'm looking at doing a third part to my installments.
Oh.
Or third installments to my three installment series about ballroom. Starting with The Queen in 1967, then moving ahead to Paris is Burning in 1990, and then looking at some contemporary ballroom documentation, particularly the movie Kiki, which came out in 2016, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And shot a few years before that, because we, you know, hear some of the people in the film are talking about, like, Obama's re-election campaign. Mm. So, anyway, but more contemporary, certainly, than Paris is Burning. And so I've been watching a bit of the documentary Kiki, which is pretty good. There's some interesting, I think the thing about it that is the most interesting to me, mm-hmm. it's available on Hulu, by the way, is the contrast with Paris is Burning.
Oh, what is the contrast?
So there are some shots, you identified this, James, actually, mm-hmm. that at the very beginning, there are some shots that look like updated versions of the exact shots from Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also thematic changes. Mm-hmm. The extent to which HIV counseling and testing is just a fact of life.
Sure.
Which I don't think HIV is ever mentioned in Paris is Burning.
Hmm.
Which, isn't that curious?
I don't remember that being the case, but that may be the case.
Many of the people in the movie passed away from HIV-related illnesses, sure. you know, after the movie came out.
Yeah.
But I don't think the subject ever comes up in the documentary.
It might not. That may be true.
Which, I mean, I find that startling for a movie about a queer subculture in New York in the late 80s.
I mean, I can see that choice because at the time, if there was anything gay-related in media, it almost certainly was going to be an AIDS storyline.
Mm-hmm. So to have a documentary about queer people, that is about something
other than
HIV, and something that is ultimately fairly triumphant, at least in the context of the documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
I respect that choice. I just find it very interesting.
Mm. Well, Jenny Livingston. Oh my goodness, is she still alive?
Yes.
Well, you could ask her.
I could.
You could call her up and say, "Hey,
what's the deal?"
Yeah. Did you not talk about it? And then she'd be like, "Did you watch it? Because it's in there." No, I don't know. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it might not be. It isn't.
It might not be. But yeah, I mean, that would certainly be a choice, right? Like, surely omitting that is a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Like, you know, there's a lot of that storyline going around. Like, I was still fairly young at that point, but certainly, if I was aware of gay stuff at all, it was through very special episodes.
Yeah.
About AIDS.
Of Golden Girls and Designing Women.
Certainly. There was Chad Lowe on Life Goes On.
There was
Pedro Zamora. There was the motion picture event Philadelphia with America's sweetheart Tom Hanks.
There was Walker, Texas Ranger.
There was Walker Told Me I've Got AIDS. That was Haley Joel Osment.
Yes.
Absolutely. So these were the only storylines with queer theming that I was exposed to at the time.
Mm. Yeah, so nice to have something that was more uplifting. There's a New York Times article in 93 that describes Paris is Burning, and I take issue somewhat with this description, as the triumph of imagination over poverty, which is a nice story to tell.
Sure, yeah. The poverty, no one triumphed over the poverty. Well, I mean,
the poverty was not defeated.
Right.
But, you know, for a moment, I guess you could say, at the balls.
I get the sentiment, but... it does trivialize the poverty a bit.
It's more of the stalemate. I guess. Well, maybe not even that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway. And so anyway, Kiki is, you know, among one of the differences is HIV awareness and prevention is part of their lives. Also, very accepting parents.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, there are interviews with the parents. In Paris is Burning, there's a whole section about, like, how these kids come to me because they have nowhere else to go. And but in this one... the kids sit down with their moms and dads moms. I don't think I've seen any dads yet, but I'm only halfway through.
Oh, my goodness.
It's slow for me to go through these because I watch a little bit, make some notes, you know, cut some things out, you know, put them aside for later to talk about. So anyway, I'm halfway through. And so parental acceptance, a big deal. Another thing that I noticed in this one is that everyone is quite young. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that is because older people have not thrived in this scene or because the documentary itself is just focused on younger people.
Either could be true. Maybe they'll address that. Also, it is hard to dance when you're old. It's hard for me to get out of this goddamn chair.
Sure, sure. That is true.
Matthew, we have this chair, and I have to grunt and huff and puff just to crawl out of it. And then when I get back into it, it wants to catch on the carpet. And then I've got to slam it to get it to roll a few inches forward. And then you immediately are like, come, oil me up. Oil
what?
Me up, please.
And I'm like, the Tin Man?
I just sat down. James, but you're like, oil me.
I do want you to oil me
you
now.
Want to be all oiled.
I want to be oily in the morning.
The flesh giver comes and takes
is that
the oil
why?
And gives again.
Is that why you call yourself the flesh giver? Because
what?
You come and you pat me in the bed.
Oh.
You give me a little pitter-pat.
Bestowed flesh, the gift of flesh upon the man up in the bed.
Is that from the Bible?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the Book of Flesh.
The Book of Flesh. I don't think that's on the Bible. That's from Phantasmagoria.
Oh, the Puzzle of Flesh.
Yes.
There's a rat in that.
Is there?
Yes.
Why don't I remember the rat?
Matthew.
Oh, in Book 3, in Phantasmagoria 3.
There is no Phantasmagoria 3. Tell me about Phantasmagoria 3.
I thought the...
Tell me about it.
Oh, goodness.
Matthew.
You're getting
I
sinister.
I want to know about the unknown Phantasmagoria
3. The unreleased
3.
Phantasmagoria 3? Well, it's set at an amusement park.
Wait, what's the subtitle?
Oh, Phantasmagoria 3. Wii!
Was it on the Wii?
Yes, Phantasmagoria 3 for Wii.
Phantasmagoria 3, Wii, on Wii, with ennui.
Yes, it's set at an amusement park, but just on the merry-go-round.
Oh, no!
Yep, and...
Oh, it's a bottle episode.
It's a bottle episode. It's a self-contained merry-go-round.
Yes,
and
it's a closed system.
It is still an FMV game.
Yeah.
So it's all footage that they captured of a person green-screened into various digital environments.
Sure.
Using CG technology of the late 90s, making heavy use of mirrors for some reason. There's tons of mirrors in that game. And what else? You have to figure out who's haunting the horses.
Who was it?
It was Shadowfax.
Well, the Lord of all horses has found his way to this merry-go-round.
Yes, not
Matthew.
So merry anymore, is it?
Have you seen the motion picture event Something Wicked This Way Comes?
No, I don't think so. Sound like a movie I would see.
It's got a creepy-ass merry-go-round in it. It's from the Walt Disney Motion Picture Company.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, is it like one of those weird live-action ones they did, like, 70s, 80s?
You have nailed it completely.
Okay.
It's like a candle shoe. It's like a witch mountain.
Mm.
It's like a computer. It's not like a computer wore tennis shoes. That's very different. And it's not like a Shaggy D.A. either.
I've never seen computer wore tennis shoes.
It's all about feet, Matthew.
What?
It's 2 hours of, like, young men's sneakers dangling at the lens.
Speaking of which.
And then it tilts up, Matthew.
Uh-huh.
And you see a computer monitor.
Yep.
That's been the twist the whole time.
It's been just a computer tantalizing you with its...
Do you like my feet?
Digital toes.
Do you like my feet?
Toes are digits.
You like my digits. Please look at them. Please look at them. Processing. Yeah, I love feet.
I gotta say, James, as we're recording this, we're using a slightly different technology than usual, and it has created some very funny-looking waveforms.
I'm the foot brat.
Oh, the foot brat?
Yes, I am foot brat.
Foot brat?
Foot brat.
Who built foot brat?
Dr. Frat.
Oh.
Dr. Frat and his foot brat.
Uh-huh. This is like Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine.
Tell me what?
I think we talked about this in the last episode.
Oh.
It's a Vincent Price film. The Vincent Price Bikini Beach movie, where he plays Dr. Gold Toe? Maybe it's Dr. Gold Toe.
That's a kind of sock.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong about that.
Maybe it's all an ad for Gold Toe socks.
Oh, that's probably it. It's got a really catchy theme song. Dr. Gold Toe and the Bikini Machine. Da, 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 da.
Oh, you did mention that at one point, Matthew.
See?
Now there's the Gold Coast, there's Gold Teeth, Golden Teeth, and Golden Tones. Welcome to my presence.
No, I was wrong. It is Dr. Goldfoot.
Mm.
The dastardly Dr. Goldfit and his sidekick, Igor, build a race of bikini-wearing beauties who are designed to win the hearts and fortunes of the most influential men of the world.
Great.
Oh, this is just, this is a bit from Austin Powers.
Yeah, the fembots.
Before long, the manufactured women begin to succeed, and Robot 11 is sent to coax multimillionaire Todd Armstrong into handing over his wealth. Government spy Craig Gamble, played by Frankie Avalon, tracks down Robot 11, but even he isn't immune to her charms.
Is it Annette Funicello?
Robot 11 is played by Susan Hart.
I don't know her.
I'm not familiar with her. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway.
Oh, well.
That's Dr. Goldfoot in the Bikini Machine.
I want to see his foot. Is it truly gold?
So I just tapped videos.
Yeah.
And the top video is Dr. Goldfoot in the Bikini Machine, 4 out of 12, movie clip, Robot Dance Party.
That's very intriguing.
Robot Dance Party does sound very good.
Well, the whole thing, really.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew, we have seen Dr. Goldfoot. We have seen his Bikini Machine. But more importantly, we've also seen Alfred.
We have Alfred from the Batman.
What?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Alfred Pennyfoot? Pennywise?
Oh, he is a penny man.
Yeah.
Well, I meant Alfred the motion picture, but you can talk about the Batman.
Are you thinking of Arnold the motion picture?
I was talking about Arnold the motion picture, Matthew. Oh, to cackle at me, I'm Mist Piggy.
Yeah. James.
Mist Piggy the Fresh Giver.
The Fresh Giver, yes. She's got Mentos now.
Now, Matthew, the thing about flesh giving
is
after the Festival of Flesh.
Yeah.
After the Festival of Flesh, there's the Freshtival.
The Freshtival?
Of Fresh.
Of Fresh. Uh-huh.
Matthew, after a night of running the flesh through the ringer.
God.
Matthew, after really pounding it.
Yep.
Sweating it to the oldies.
Yep.
Like me. I'm
there
an
they
oldie.
Go. Bye.
Oh, I'm like an old foot. Matthew, after that, there's a real freshening.
Mm.
Oh, everything's refreshed. It's like the end of Princess Mononoke. Spoilers. Nature is in bloom, and so am I. CC Bloom. And now it's time for fresh gathering.
Okay, so you are going to need to take a nap.
No!
I'm sorry, James. I'm going to have to put you down.
What? Oh! For good.
Not medically.
Oh.
Just going to have to put you down for a little nap.
No, no, no.
I'm going to wrap you in your swaddle.
No.
Yes, I'm going to wrap you up.
What?
And while you're doing that, I'll make some brownies. So when you wake up, there'll be a nice treat. Oh. Now, but when I do put you down for a nap, there's always this very difficult period at the end of the nap.
What is it?
When it's time to wake up.
What do you mean?
Because you're always like, as you're going to sleep, you're like, don't let me sleep too long.
No, I don't want to sleep too long.
I don't want to sleep too long.
No, it's always a risk, because then I'll wake up at like 1 a.m. I frequently do.
But you do that anyway, is
what?
The thing. So,
well, that is true.
Yeah. So I wake you. It takes me a long time to wake you up after the nap, because you do need more sleep.
I have to be rebooted.
So the nap happens.
Yeah.
I don't think you're very refreshed.
Not at all.
No.
No.
So why?
Miserable.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why do the nap?
So that I don't wake up at 1 a.m. But then I do that anyway.
Maybe we do need to give you drugs.
Matthew, I don't want drugs. What I want is to become the flesh giver.
All right, fair enough. You know, what helps me sleep, James,
yeah,
is I get on the exercise bike.
Now, the exercise bike is too close to a wall. Makes me nervous.
What? Are you afraid that it's going to come loose from the foundation and you're going to crash into the wall?
What if I drove into it?
What if you drove... James, what if you crashed through the wall like the Kool-Aid man and fell out the side of the building?
Now, that would be a real Miss Piggy moment. She does that on a motorcycle.
She does. She does. She does. Why are you... James, it's not even pointed to the wall. The wall is just next to the bike.
But I could veer off suddenly. I might see a raccoon
in the
road.
Okay, that's a good drag name.
What?
Veer off suddenly.
It's not bad.
What are you talking about?
The exercise bike
doesn't move.
But this one does.
It doesn't.
If you, Matthew, anything's possible if you just be yourself.
James, I'm trying to help.
Yes.
I know you have sleep disruptions.
What?
And what helps me when I have those is tiring myself out by going out in the sunlight.
Oh, no.
And then going for a ride on the bicyclette.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if I combine the two, though, I'll ride right into Corona, Matthew.
You don't have to go outside, James. Just get on the bike for a little while. It'll tire out your bones.
My bones. Oh, my bones.
You'll have tired bones. You'll sleep forever.
Oh.
Then you'll wake up to brownies.
Tyra Bones. Is that a good name?
Tyra Bones is not a good name.
It's not a good name.
Tyra Bones. Nope. It's not a thing.
What?
Not a thing.
What about Tyrod? Oh, I'm so tired.
Flat Tyra?
Maybe. Flat Tyra? That seems...
Tyra repair?
Maybe. I mean, Flat Tyra's not bad, but it does sound like you're making a judgment call about the boobular area.
Sure, about her own contours?
Yeah.
What are other phrases involving tires? Tyra replacement?
Spare Tyra?
Spare Tyra. That every drag queen wants to be known as Spare Tyra.
If your Tyra blows out,
yep,
we've got an extra. It's me, Spare Tyra.
Spare Tyra. Okay, James just had a spasm of laughter at Spare Tyra. Stopped the recording, so we had to make sure that the recording was saved.
I punched the machine.
You punched the machine. You punched the bikini machine.
Oh, we need one.
And then James cackled to himself, then looked at me accusingly and said, "Why did you laugh at me?"
You did.
I did not. That was you, James. You're hearing voices
now.
Don't
laugh at me.
All right. Speaking of Tyra, we should probably address chapter 46.
Oh, my goodness. Of 126.
God help us. Let's hope not.
Yes.
Of Model Land.
Mm, that's the one.
It's called With Perfect Execution.
Ooh.
So there's pandemonium happening in the book. It's hard to know exactly what's going on. Everyone's racing from one direction to another. There's chaos and panic. And I feel this is appropriate because I don't remember fucking anything about what was going on in this book. It's been 3 weeks since we talked about it, I think.
Mm.
But everyone's running everywhere. The 7-7 tournament has been postponed.
Uh-huh.
I think the Belladonna might be dead, or maybe Creamy's dead.
So Creamy was skewered on the Belladonna's dress, but didn't she like immediately come back to life with some magic?
Very unclear.
Okay.
So maybe, the Belladonna's been arrested for murder?
Oh, maybe. That sounds right.
Okay, so Tookie is following Ciel.
Uh-huh.
Whose guards are dragging her by her hair.
Uh-huh.
Into the M.
Yes.
Tookie follows her.
Mm-hmm.
All the important people... A three-dimensional tic-tac-toe board loomed at the front of the room, seemingly transported back from the stadium. A three-dimensional tic-tac-toe board.
Well, that's that game James Bond plays in the remake of the one where Sean Connery comes back.
Baccarat?
Never Say Never Again. He sits at a little video game terminal.
Oh my God, yes, you're
Matthew,
right.
And he plays a 3D tic-tac-toe board.
You're right. Now, that's not an official James Bond.
It sure is. As long as I'm
it's
here.
Not a broccoli bond.
I'm the new Jardos bond. Now doesn't that have the Disco Volante?
That has the Disco Volante.
Oh.
That was a
Thunderball.
What is the Disco Volante?
It's the Flying Saucer.
The Flying Saucer. That's it. There was a story about a band that had it was an Italian band that had a song called Disco Volante that they couldn't get played on any of the stations in the U.S. because everyone thought that it was disco at a time when nobody wanted to play disco. It was like the early 80s.
So they were
getting bigger and bigger and bigger in Europe, and then they tried to come to America, and nobody would play their thing because they had a song called Disco Volante, meaning flying saucer.
Yeah.
And anyway, it worked against them.
Oh, my goodness. Now they're the ones who wrote, do-do-do-do-do. Do, 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 do,
they
do.
Did not. That predates that. That's from a Woody Allen movie.
That's from, and didn't it come from a softcore erotica before that?
No, you're thinking of Menomina.
Yes, correct.
Anyway, everyone's sitting on the tic-tac-toe board, whatever the fuck that means.
Mm.
Their faces were alert, interested, maybe even nervous. Guru Aplause's head hand was chewing one of its own fingernails.
Imagine such a thing.
James, I immediately imagined that sight, and I was angry at the book.
Imagine
for that.
Such a thing. It's so evocative.
Yeah. So they drag Tookie in there. It looks like they're mad at her. They put her in a guillotine.
Sure.
The guillotine slices down to her neck.
Uh-huh.
And then red liquid gushes forth from her neck.
Yeah.
Turns into a beautiful gown, and a crown appears on her head.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone starts to applaud. She's been crowned the new queen of Model Land.
Sure. Why wouldn't she?
Except now she's being called... Princess, so I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. Anyway.
I mean, for those who have played Persona 5, this imagery is of the guillotine as a thing that's sort of transformative in a good way rather than murder, but it doesn't seem like that's what it's going to be.
Why did they drag her in here by her hair?
Sure.
Why?
That's how you coronate, that's what happened to Queen Elizabeth.
Their way of crowning someone is putting them in a guillotine.
Yeah, dragging them by the hair.
To make a beautiful red gown out of their blood, I guess? I don't know. Anyway, so CL's like, seriously? Anyway, everyone's startled. Then Tookie gasps, or she screams. She screams, yes.
Mm. That may be one of the first things she's actually done.
Yeah.
Just yell.
And CL, they see her, and they're like, ho-ho, you're not supposed to be here, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And CL's like, I'll take care of this, and I will punish her. And then she grabs Tookie, and good God, the dialogue that comes next. Psych, she says. It's a psych joke, James.
Yes. I mean, it's better than a not joke. Like, what if she'd been like, I'll take care of this. Not.
Tookie, I was totally kidding. I was spooky, huh? Like before when I was crazy. But I'm not crazy now. But I feel crazy because I'm the frickin' Belladonna.
That sounds like some. That sounds like something Tyra's actually said.
I'm so nervous and now I'm sweating again. You know how I sweat. Ugh. She says.
Ah, it's like a Kathy comic.
It is spelled. I thought of peanuts. Yeah. It's spelled exactly. Oh. It is 100% the noise that Charlie Brown makes when the football is pulled away.
The arg.
Arg. Come here, girl. You know how Charlie Brown says that?
Charlie Brown would say that to Linus.
And then CL wrapped Tookie in a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
CL, you totally freaked me out, Tookie said, giggling nervously, as one might.
That's how one should react to Tyra.
Don't you dare harm her, blah, blah, blah. And then CL's, Tookie bows because she's the queen or the princess, unclear.
Mm-hmm.
And CL's like, get up. There's not going to be any of that idiotic kowtowing during my reign. And then she turns to Gennaro and she says, as for you, bow down to Miss Tookie immediately.
Right, there's not going to be any bowing. Now bow.
So anyway, she says, I'm the head biatch in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that phrase has come up before in the context of the cats.
Mm-hmm.
As you recall, they meow the word biatch.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that the Belladonna identified herself as the head biatch at the beginning.
Okay, well, then there's some
symmetry. It's a circular narrative.
It is, just like Princess Mononoke with the boar demon.
Sure.
Mm. Anyway, from now on, you will do whatever I say. Reluctantly, Gennaro took mincing steps up to Tookie. James, I want you to take some mincing steps. Very nice. James, I don't know why the weirdest things that you do get me excited.
That is not for you to excite.
He fell to his knees, puckered his lips, and kissed Tookie's shoes, which were still soiled with ugly room crud. And Tookie had to admit, it felt pretty damn good.
It did.
The end.
Wait, there's still one more chapter, right?
Oh, only one?
Oh,
so there definitely is at least another.
Okay.
Chapter 47, La Lengua.
Mm, there might be more after that.
We're 95% of the way through the book. 95%. And then what?
And then what, indeed? What do you think of where we are now with Tookie de la Creme?
I don't know where we are.
Oh?
Someone else's story's been resolved.
Mm. Oh, that's true. That's true.
CL's story seems to have reached a nice conclusion, but Tookie...
And Creamy and the Belladonna. All those characters seem to have gotten...
What was his name? Bestostero? What was the boy?
Oh, Bravo.
Bravo.
Mm.
Where the fuck's he?
Didn't he give her like a squirt of whipped cream or something? Or I thought they exchanged cream.
Long ago. I don't know. And then she's got all her friends. I don't know where they went.
Yeah, the book kind of forgot about them.
Okay. Well, anyway... The end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the fleet in Game of Thrones. Well, I think we'll see Miracle again. Because remember, Miracle came up with Creamy.
Mm.
Didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is like the fleet in Game of Thrones. It's like fleet enema.
Exactly. Direct to the source.
Direct, yes. There is no story that I can tell with Tookie at this point. I don't know.
She's there.
What's unresolved with her?
I mean, sure, I guess that's true. I was going to say what has been resolved, but what was there? Yeah,
I guess there's Lizzie.
Now we do know that Tookie can speak every language.
That sure. So that's, I don't know how that helps.
We know that Theophilus
had a
button that said "Vote for Theophilus."
Did he ever win?
And we know is that it became Taug.
Yeah,
Matthew. We know that Zarpessa was eating out of dumpsters.
Yeah.
And Lizzie was having troubles.
Yeah.
We know these things to be true.
James.
What?
I have come to recognize in the waveform when I sigh heavily.
Oh, my goodness.
I know the picture of my own despair.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so that's where we're at in Model Land.
There's the girl from Sans Calor who had the people who wanted to eat her pancreas.
Forgot about that one.
If she ever left the bubble, there's the candle girl who I think was very small. Wasn't that it?
Was she? I thought she was just pale.
Oh, I thought that was the Sans Calor girl.
You're right. That makes more sense.
So, and then there's the Walmart girl.
Now,
Matthew,
one of them was plump.
Yeah, correct.
And one of them had freckles.
That is also correct.
All right. Well, I don't remember which is which, so we're lost.
Here we are, Matthew, with our good friends, Dr. Jack and Kate's horse and John Locke and the Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
We are lost again for the first time.
Yep.
Matthew, what if they brought back Lost at this point on Quibi?
Oh, God. They're still making new stuff.
Wonderful.
They're still releasing stuff. Like, I got an ad for some new series about a talking sex doll.
Oh, they're really pushing that one. I'm seeing it all the time.
Okay.
They didn't push the gold arm.
Sad. Sad. Yeah, so anyway, maybe Quibi's the place. Like, I saw the talking sex doll thing, and I was like, that looks like it might be fun, but also, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, meh.
Seemed all right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyway. We do have a comment from Joanne, I believe.
Joanne, hello.
Actually, no, I don't think this is from Joanne.
Oh, my. Well, then, goodbye, Joanne.
Or no, maybe it is from a few weeks ago. Anyway,
this
comment, I forgot to write who left this comment.
All right. Commenter.
Said, I'd always thought that the phrase coming out was sort of campy take on debutante balls, debutante balls, where a young woman would be said to come out into society.
Sure.
In my mind, I think this is Joanne. In my mind, it was a sort of mocking way of taking something formal and respectable from the straight world and twisting it, as is a proud gay tradition. This would make sense with what Matt talked about in terms of coming out originally being entering the gay world rather than announcing it to the straight world. I don't have any proof that this is the actual etymology, so it may be something I wrongly picked up from somewhere. P.S. I love Cozy Pants so much, I literally signed up to the Patreon just to hear it because I was such a fan of Defining Marriage back in the day, so please keep giving us all this beautiful nonsense.
Oh my goodness. Well, we've not done it in a few weeks, so I apologize.
It's been a while. It's been a busy time.
After that comment, we've gone and left you in the lurch.
We went silent, but we created some tension.
Maybe. Or disappointment, Matthew.
Or disappointment. One or the other.
One or the other. But let's talk about this coming out phenomenon. Because I think I remember hearing that at some point, too. I don't know where, though, or under what context. But, of course, there's the coming out party for the debutante where she comes out and she's like, you can marry me now. It's socially acceptable for you to want to do me.
I'm a part of society, and that means I'm useful.
That's correct. And I have a very particular function, and here it is. Take a look, boys.
Yeah. I have found the commenter. It is Thomas.
Oh, it's Thomas.
Thomas.
Well, Thomas.
I doubted that it was Thomas.
Hello. Who is Thomas?
Thomas is a patron.
Hello, Thomas. I know that there are one patron, Joanne, who listens, but now there's also Thomas.
Also Thomas. We've had others.
There's DK, who revealed himself in Twitch chat not long ago. The revelation of DK. I think we went on a whole Donkey Kong thing about that. That may have been rude. I don't know.
There's also Jean-Frédéric Hubsch.
Oh, hello.
Has left his comments in the past. There's also this fox. If you remember
the fox.
That's
that very Joanne good sent fox. Us.
And Billy.
Billy, hello, Billy.
And DK, of course, and Mark.
Oh my goodness.
Commented that he watched Cats recently, and Mark Boder, who recently watched Cats, and Tom Hooper. Tom Hooper, the director. No.
Oh.
This is a note that I left for myself about Tom Hooper.
I wish Tom Hooper was listening. I have words for him, Matthew.
Here is his words for you. I may have read this to you already.
Oh no, I think we did this, but you can try again.
The Jellicle, in its sense, its weakness is it is tribal.
Oh, I don't know that I heard that.
It's pushed to its margins.
Okay.
The fallen, the forgotten, the disgraced. I think the film, at a thematic level, is perhaps suggesting that we as a community are stronger rather than... That we as a community are stronger rather than dividing... What the fuck is the sentence? I think the film at a thematic level is perhaps suggesting that we as a community are stronger when rather than dividing, we reintegrate into our community the fallen, the forgotten, the disgraced. So central to the movie is a message about the importance of forgiveness.
Sure, he watched the one... He almost got memory right. Okay, you did read me that.
So that explains why Jenny Anydots scratches her taint.
Oh, Jenny Anydots does it all.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, now I want to watch that movie again. Matthew, we got to stop watching Cats. I got to watch something else.
We watched Princess Mononoke. That doesn't have any cats in it.
Oh.
Could that be true?
Yeah. We can watch Kiki Delivery Service next.
That certainly has a cat. Yeah. It's Phil Hartman.
I'm trying to think if any other Ghibli films, like if Castle in the Sky, I don't think that has a cat. Mm. I mean, it seems like
there'd be Miyazaki some background would like cats. A cat. Totoro absolutely has a cat. I can't tell you where, but there's absolutely a cat.
I don't think so.
There's got to be a cat in that movie.
That darn cat. I mean, right. Well, we'll watch that one next.
There's one, I think it's called The Cat Returns. Now, that has a cat.
I don't think that's Miyazaki, though.
Well, no, but it is Ghibli, isn't it?
I think so.
Okay, well, there you have it. The cat, is he anti-cat, Miyazaki?
Oh, no, what a crime. Well, I think now
there's got to be a cat in Totoro. There's got to be.
Aside from the cat bus.
Oh, well, the ultimate cat.
Okay, it's got the ultimate cat. Yeah. All right, sure. All right. I don't think it has any familiar domestic cats, but it certainly has. It has an incredible cat.
Oh my goodness, Felis familiaris, right?
Well, Felis vehicularis.
Oh my goodness! Now, what did Data have to say about his cat?
Ah, Felis catus, your taxonomic nomenclature. Wait, what is it? Felis catus is your taxonomic nomenclature, an endothermic quadruped. Something by nature. Oh, I've forgotten.
Oh my goodness!
You're something something auditory, something something senses. Denote a fairly well-developed cognitive array.
Hmm.
Oh, dear. I've lost the poem.
You've lost the cat, Matthew.
I used to know it. Felis catus is your taxonomic nomenclature, an endothermic quadruped, carnivorous by nature.
Mm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't remember the rest. I think I've mashed up a whole bunch of lines together.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, yeah. We've gone on for far too long, as per usual.
Oh, no.
It is time to enter the world of slumber for you, I think.
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I've got adventures.
Okay.
Matthew, I'm going to go.
Do your adventures, then.
Ba-da-doo-ba-ba-doo-ba-da-boo. I'm walking down the street, and I'm going to do what I please.
All right.
I don't wear a mask. I look at the people and breathe. I breathe.
You don't walk down the street.
I've never been down the street.
No. James, I would like to take you outside at some point.
As far as I know, it's March 17th.
Here's what we'll do to prove to you that time has passed.
No.
I'm going to take you downstairs with a basket.
Oh, I'm in the basket?
Maybe you're in the basket.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking it's going to be time to harvest the potatoes soon.
Don't harvest me.
I'm not harvesting you. You're going to help me harvest the potatoes.
No, I won't.
Absolutely.
I'm not touching the dirt.
You're going to hold the basket.
Oh,
James.
What if the worm gets in the basket?
I learned today that there's a rich tradition of glanurism.
What?
In my family.
Oh.
I was telling my mother about the potatoes that I'm growing, and she said that my grandmother used to be a glanure.
Oh.
And so we are going to go downstairs. I'm going to dig the potatoes up and put them in the basket. You're going to hold the basket for me.
Why do I need to hold the basket? That's such a weird little task
to
give me.
To keep me company.
Oh, I thought you were like, you need a basket holder.
No, I just need you. I like you.
Oh, you see so much of me.
I know.
So
I like it, James. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't.
Oh, I see.
If I didn't like seeing you, I'd look at someone else.
Oh, my God. You could look into the mirror.
I would look at myself, sure.
Look at you.
That's the only person I can safely look at.
Look at you. What?
Because I can't leave the house.
Oh, I see.
For my health.
You could do an erotic Zoom call.
I could do an erotic Zoom call.
Oh, my goodness. Well, send Matthew all your DMs for erotic Zoom calls.
Please. And good gravy. That'll just about do it for us.
Mm.
Thank you, everyone.
That's what you'll release at the end of the call. Good gravy.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for being a friend. And until next time, I blow you out now. Cookie de la creme.